There are people that we love, and there are things that we love, things that we have, things that we enjoy doing, things that give us satisfaction, and so on. I'm preaching a series of messages about seven loves, seven exhortations to us all. The first exhortation was, love the Lord. The second exhortation was, love the Bible. And now this evening, the third exhortation is, love the gospel. Love the gospel. And I'm going to ask and try to answer three questions about this third exhortation, love the gospel. Question number one, what is the gospel? What is the gospel? This is one of the most important questions that anyone could ever ask. It takes us right to the heart of the Christian message. What is the gospel? Let me say, firstly, what the gospel isn't. And then let me say, secondly, what the gospel is. So firstly, what the gospel isn't. The gospel isn't the same as the gospels, gospels in the plural. I'm referring to the four gospels, the gospels according to Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Of course, those four gospels or books of the Bible, the first four books of the New Testament, they do preach the gospel. They contain the gospel. They tell us the good news about Jesus, don't they? But let's not confuse the four gospels with the gospel. There is a difference. Secondly, the gospel isn't the same as the Bible. Of course, it's in the Bible where we find the gospel. God puts the gospel in the Bible, in the books of the Bible. And the gospel is all through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. There isn't a single book of the Bible where we can't find the gospel message. But the Bible in and of itself is not the same as the gospel. That's why the church's mission, although this may sound a terrible thing to say, but I hope you'll understand me. The church's mission is not so much to get people reading the Bible, although we should do that as well. But the church's mission is to preach the gospel. It is to evangelize. It is to tell people and explain to people the message of salvation in Christ. That is what we are called to do. Of course, we use the Bible. We give people the Bible. We give people the New Testament or whatever. But it's not enough just to get people reading the Bible if we're not at the same time giving them the gospel message and helping them to understand that message. And that's why I say that the gospel is not the same as the Bible. Although the gospel is the main and the central message of the whole Bible. The gospel isn't loving people. Yes, the Bible does say in a number of places, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But that is not the gospel. That is a commandment or a command. Love your neighbor as yourself. But the gospel is not a command. It's not something that we have to do. The gospel is good news about something that God has done. That's the gospel. So don't let's confuse the gospel with love your neighbor. Love your neighbor is in the Bible, and we are to love our neighbors. But that's not the gospel. And in a similar vein, the gospel isn't helping people. Of course it's good to help people. I hope nobody goes out at the end of this service saying the preacher said that we didn't need to help people, that that wasn't a good idea. I'm not saying that. We all know that, don't we? We're to help each other. We're to help other people. We're to help as many people as we can. Because that's what love does. But helping people is not the Christian message. It's not the gospel. If anything, it should be a fruit of the gospel, that desire to help people. So that's just a few examples of what the gospel isn't. And I only say that because I think we all know that there are many people who are confused about what the Christian message really is. It would be interesting to do, you know, a survey or a questionnaire on the street and just ask people a few simple questions. What, in your view, is the basic Christian message? And I feel sure that a lot of people would get it wrong. And that's why it's so important that we not only say what the gospel is, but also what the gospel isn't, to try to avoid that confusion. Because if someone doesn't understand the gospel, then they're in serious spiritual danger, aren't they? Because we have to understand the gospel and believe it in order to be saved. So if someone hasn't understood the gospel and they think that loving their neighbor is the gospel, is the Christian message, then we need to help them to understand that that is not the case. That is not the Christian message. That is not good news. So if those examples are examples of what the gospel isn't, what can we say about what the gospel is? The gospel is, what I've already said, good news. Good news. That is what the word gospel means. Back in the old days when the New Testament was written, the word gospel was used, for example, when there was a battle against some enemy, and when the goodies, as it were, won the battle, and a messenger would go back from the battlefield, having seen the victory of his own army and soldiers, and go back to his town or village or city and announce the good news, the gospel, that they had won the battle. That was the way the word gospel was used in the first century. It was used of any significant piece of good news that was worth sharing with everybody. That was the gospel. The gospel is good news. As more than one person has said or written in recent years, the gospel is not good advice, it's good news. There's a huge difference, isn't there, between good advice and good news. But the gospel is not just good news. The gospel is the best news of all. The best news of all. I mean, we're thinking about Ukraine. Wouldn't it be amazing if in the next few days the invasion going on there were to come to an end in whatever way, and we were to be hearing on the news the great news that the invasion of Ukraine had ended? That would be an amazing piece of good news. Well, the gospel, the Christian message, is even greater than that. It is the best news of all. There is no other good news, no matter how good, that can be compared with the good news of the Christian message, the gospel. The gospel is a message. It's a message from God to us, human beings. The gospel is a message that's to be communicated with words. That's what we call evangelism, evangelizing. It is telling people the good news about what Jesus, the Son of God, did, becoming a man but without sin and living a perfect life and going to be crucified on a cross and then rising from the dead and ascending to his Father's right hand, where he even right now is interceding, praying for people like us. And all of that is the essence, the heart of the good news. It is a message that we are to communicate as clearly and as simply and as faithfully as possible to as many people as possible, both near and far. That is the church's mission. The church's mission is to make known to as many people as possible, to everybody, everywhere, this wonderful news about how we can be saved thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure I've said this before, but in a sense we can summarize the whole of the Bible in two simple ideas. The first is, we need to be saved. We all need to be saved. We are born needing to be saved. And the second is, how we can be saved. And how can we be saved? We can be saved thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Savior of the world. And He is our Savior, your Savior, if you believe in Him, if you trust Him to save you. And that's what the Bible is all about. And that's what our mission is as Christians and as churches. It is to make known to everybody, everywhere, this wonderful news about the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is the good news, the wonderful news, that thanks to Him, thanks to the Lord Jesus, you and I can be saved. There is hope for us. Thanks to Him, not thanks to us. And all of this is an attempt to summarize what the gospel is, having seen some things that the gospel isn't and that we shouldn't confuse with the gospel. But this is what the gospel is. It is good news. It is the best news of all. It is a message. It is a message that's to be communicated verbally with words as clearly as possible, as faithfully as possible. Our job is not to make anything up. Our job is not to design some kind of message that we think the world needs. Our job is to communicate to as many people as possible what God has told us to communicate. We are to be heralds, like those ancient heralds going out on their horses to announce the edicts of the king in all the towns and villages of the country. And that is what we as Christians are called to do. We're called to make known faithfully the great news about how people can be saved thanks to the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all that He did and is still doing to save sinners like us. So that's question number one. What is the gospel? Let's move on to question number two. Why should we love the gospel? We've seen what the gospel is, but why should we love the gospel? Because that's what this message this evening is meant to be about. It's a simple three-word exhortation to me and to all of us. Love the gospel. Love the gospel. Let's love the gospel. That's what I want us to go away with this evening. Let's really love the gospel. But why should we love the gospel? And in order to answer that second question, I'm not going to give you my ideas, what I think the answer is, because I don't have any authority of my own. My only authority is when I'm speaking God's word and when I'm being faithful to the teaching of the Bible. That's the only authority I've got, not any of my own. And so I don't want to give you just my thoughts or my ideas about why we should love the gospel. I want us to see it for ourselves in the pages and in the words of God's word, the Bible. So let's go back to what we read a few moments ago. We read Romans 1, 8 to 17, but let's look a bit more closely at the last three verses of that passage. Verses 15 to 17 of Romans chapter 1. Do you see that these three verses are about the gospel? These three verses are about the gospel. The gospel is what they're about. Let's just read them again, 15 to 17 in Romans 1. So as much as is in me, I am ready, says Paul, to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel, is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek, for in it, in the gospel, in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Do you see how the gospel is the theme of these three verses, just as the gospel is the theme of this whole letter to the Romans? So what I want to do is suggest 7 reasons why we should love the gospel, with the 7 reasons being based on these 3 verses, Romans 1, 15, 16, and 17. Firstly, we should love the gospel because the word gospel means good news. Well, we've already seen that. So when Paul writes in verse 15, I am ready to preach the gospel to you, he uses the word for evangelize, which means to tell someone some good news. Evangelize. And that's the word that he uses in verse 15. I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. And when he writes in verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, he uses the word for gospel, which, as we've already seen, means good news. And when he writes in verse 17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed, the word it refers to the gospel. In other words, to the good news. So that's the first reason why we should love the gospel. Because it is good news, great news, the best news of all. So firstly, we should love the gospel because it means good news. Secondly, we should love the gospel because the gospel is good news from God. It's good news from God. So when we share the gospel with someone, it's not that the good news comes from us because we're the ones sharing it. We didn't invent or make up the good news. We received it from God. The good news has its origin, its source in God himself, our creator. That's where the gospel came from. And that's why Paul writes here in verse 16, the gospel is the gospel of Christ. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the gospel of Christ. It's not my gospel in that sense, although sometimes Paul does use that phrase because he identified so closely with the gospel. The gospel is the power of God to salvation, verse 16 and the second half of the verse. The gospel reveals the righteousness of God, verse 17. So in these 3 verses, we see that God is at the very center, at the very heart of the gospel. And this is another reason why we should love the gospel, because it came to us from God himself. It is about God's Son, Christ. It is about God's righteousness. It is about God's power. It is the power of God to salvation. Too much of our thinking has gone off the rails because we've moved away from being God-centered to being man-centered, us-centered. We need to get back to real, biblical, God-centered Christianity. And God is everywhere in these words of the Apostle Paul. It's the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God. It's the righteousness of God. And that's why I say that we should love the good news of the gospel. Because it didn't just come from anyone or anywhere. It came to us from God himself. God gave us the gospel. God sent the gospel to us. God sent his Son to be in his person the gospel, the good news for us. It is all God-centered and has its origin in God himself. And for that reason, we should love it. So we should love the gospel because it means good news. We should love the gospel because it's good news from God. Thirdly, we should love the gospel because it, the gospel, is God's power to save. The gospel is God's power to save sinners like us. Verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God. Why? For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. It's not just that the gospel reveals God's power. It's not just that the gospel contains God's power. The gospel itself is God's power. It is God's power. The good news is God's power to save. The tragedy of the Christian church today is that we don't really believe anymore that the gospel itself, the good news about Jesus, is God's power to save sinners. We've lost our confidence in the gospel as God's power to save. Because if we did believe this, if we did believe it, if we really believed it, if we believed that the gospel itself was God's power to save people, then we would be telling people the good news left, right and center. Because we would be trusting not in gimmicks, not in us in somehow making the Christian message more appealing and more attractive to people. No, we'd just be giving people the gospel because we believe that the gospel is the power of God to save people. So why water it down or change it for other things? We should love the gospel because gospel means good news, because the good news came from God, because the gospel is God's power to save. Number four, we should love the gospel because it, the gospel, is our only hope of salvation. The good news about Jesus is the only hope that we have. It's our only hope. We're all sinners, aren't we? We're all lost, spiritually lost by nature. We all came into this world on the wrong road. You know, babies are not innocent. Babies are not spiritually or morally neutral. We are conceived in sin. We are born already as sinners. We come into this world as sinners who need desperately to be saved. We're not born neutral and then bit by bit we gradually start copying other people's bad habits. Though that happens as well. But the real problem is that we are conceived and born as sinners. Our default position as human beings is sinners and therefore under God's righteous wrath and lost and in danger of hell. That is our default position. That's how we come into the world. So we need to be saved. But how does God save us? He saves us through this gospel. He saves us through the good news. The good news is the power that he wields to save sinners like us. The gospel is how you and I were saved. The gospel is how other people out there can be saved. Because in the gospel, there is a power. And it is the power of God to salvation. And the gospel is our only hope. The gospel is their only hope. There is no other way. This is the way that God has chosen to save sinners through his gospel. And that is why we should love it. It is why we should love the gospel. I'm sure we loved it at the beginning when we first understood it and came to faith and were saved and we realized that God had done it by his amazing grace. But sadly, with the passing of time, with the passing of the years, when we've been Christians now for 20, 30, 40, 50 or 60 or more years, sadly, because we're still sinners, we can no longer love the gospel the way we maybe did in the early months and years of our Christian lives. But if we're saved this evening, if we're on our way to heaven this evening, if we were to die on our way home and it wouldn't matter because our souls would pass immediately into God's presence in glory, the only explanation for that is the gospel. So shouldn't we love it? Love it more? So we love the gospel because it means good news. It's good news from God. It's God's power to save. It's our only hope of salvation. Number five, we should love the gospel because the only thing we have to do with it is believe it. That's all that we have to do with the gospel. We have to, yes, understand it, but essentially we have to believe it. Believe the gospel. It is the power of God, writes Paul, to salvation for everyone who believes. Everyone who believes. For everyone who believes what? For everyone who believes it. Who believes the gospel, the good news. It's true that if we want to be saved, yes, we need to recognize and feel that we're lost because of our sins. It's true that we need to repent. It's true that we need to trust Jesus as our only hope of salvation. All of that is true. But if you think about it, all of that comes from believing the gospel. If we really believe the gospel, then we will repent and we will trust Jesus alone as our Savior because we've understood and grasped and believed the good news. Let me give you a simple illustration. If you had a serious illness and then somebody said that they had some great news, a cure had been found for your illness. Well, if you believed the report, if you believed the good news, what would you do? You would immediately find out where you have to go to get the cure, whether it's an injection or an operation or a pill or whatever. But if you really believed the good news, that there was a cure for your illness, would you not go out to find that cure and to have it applied to your body? I'm sure we would. But if you didn't believe the report, if you didn't believe the so-called good news, you thought it was a lie or somebody had made it up, you wouldn't do anything, would you? Because I don't believe that. Who's going to believe that? And so you just carry on with your life. Do you see how everything hinges on whether we believe something or not? What we believe will determine what we do. And that's why the gospel is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Because it's when we believe the gospel to be true. It's when we believe the good news that yes, we can be saved thanks to Jesus. It's when we really believe that, that we act on that belief and we repent of our sins and we call out to God to save us and we trust Christ as our only hope of salvation. All of those things demonstrate that we have believed the message. We have believed the report. We've believed the good news. So we love the gospel because it means good news, because it comes to us from God, because it's God's power to save, our only hope of salvation. All we have to do is believe it. Number six, we should love the gospel because the gospel is for everyone who believes. For everyone who believes. It is the power of God, writes Paul, to salvation. For everyone who believes. Oh, that word, everyone. Surely, when we read that word, and when we see our names included implicitly in that word, everyone, that I am one of those, everyone, surely we should love this gospel. It is so wide, isn't it, in its reach. It's the power of God to salvation for men and women. It's the power of God to salvation for adults and young people and children. It's the power of God for black people and white people, people from every ethnic group. It's God's power to salvation for rich people and poor people, for religious people and totally irreligious people. It is for everyone of whatever category who genuinely believes the message of the gospel and trusts the Lord Jesus to save them. Nobody is excluded. The only condition in that sense is faith, because salvation is by grace, God's grace, and through faith. And faith includes believing the message, and faith includes trusting the Savior. And everyone who believes the gospel, everyone who trusts Christ, will be saved. If you believe the gospel this evening, if you trust Jesus as your Savior, maybe at last, maybe after spending months or even years thinking about it and wondering about it, but if you really do believe the gospel and trust Jesus, the message of the gospel as your Savior, you will be saved. Isn't that a wonderful thing? A reason for us to love the gospel and above all love the God of the gospel. And finally, under this second question, we should love the gospel because the gospel is good news for those already saved as well. Verse 15, I am ready, says Paul, to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. Weren't they all Christians? Yes, as far as we know. Weren't they already saved? Yes. So why did Paul need to preach the gospel to them, to the Christians in Rome? They were already Christians. They didn't need the gospel, did they? Well, they did. Because Christians need the gospel too. The gospel is not only the way we are saved. The gospel is our life from the moment in which we are saved. We who are believers still need the gospel. We didn't just need it before we were Christians. We have needed it every second and every day since we became Christians. We cannot live without the gospel. Those of us who are Christians need the gospel. If you're a Christian, you need the gospel, because the gospel is not only the power of God to salvation, it's also the power of God for our spiritual growth, for our sanctification. It is what God uses to make us more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just, as somebody has said, the ABC of the Christian life. It's the A to Z. It's the whole of the Christian life. Too many Christians these days seem to think that they, because they're Christians, don't need the gospel anymore. That's a terrible mistake to make. We, brothers and sisters, we need the gospel. Yes, we're saved if we are, but we still need the gospel. It should be our bread and our water, our daily supply of oxygen for our spiritual lives. We need the gospel. So let's move on quickly and finally to the third question. Firstly, we've seen, what is the gospel? Secondly, why should we love the gospel? Thirdly and finally, how should we show our love for the gospel? A couple of weeks ago in the previous message in this series, we asked the question, how should we show our love for the Bible? Today's question is similar. How should we show our love for the gospel? And again, let me just suggest, but much more briefly, seven brief answers to this third and last question. How should we show our love for the gospel? Firstly, we should show our love for the gospel by listening to it. If we love it, we will be glad to hear it and listen to it. Secondly, we should show our love for the gospel by believing it. Thirdly, we should show our love for the gospel by enjoying it. Do you enjoy listening to the gospel? Or do you get bored? Is your reaction when the preacher is evangelizing, preaching the gospel, is your reaction, oh, we already know that. We already know about the gospel. Can't you move on to something deeper or something? May the Lord protect us from that attitude. If we are Christians, we should delight in hearing the gospel being preached from our pulpits and in our conversations and at our meetings every week. We should be thrilled to hear the gospel. We should never tire of hearing the gospel. We should enjoy it. Number four, we should live out the gospel to show our love for it. Living out the gospel does not save us. We're not saved by doing things, But when the gospel has really had an impact on our hearts and lives, the gospel will cause us to live out the gospel in our lives. The gospel will become the most important thing in all our relationships and at home and at work and at school and university and in our hobbies and leisure activities. In every area of our lives, the gospel will be there, will be present, will be at the center, because a Christian is a gospel-centered person who has been impacted by the gospel and saved by the gospel. And now in response to that and as fruit from that, we want to live in the light of the gospel. We want to live as gospel people, as gospel Christians in every area of our life. We want other people to be able to feel and notice and see the gospel, as it were, coming out of us and coming through us. Yes, imperfectly, because we're still sinners. But we want to be, do we not, gospel people. Because that is the logical and natural outworking of God's wonderful gift of salvation. So we should show our love for the gospel by listening to it, believing it, enjoying it, living it out. Number five, by sharing it with others. We come back to the church's great mission, which is to make the gospel known. It is to evangelize. It is to tell others the good news that has impacted us, that has led to our salvation. Now we want other people to experience that same wonderful experience of salvation. And so we want to share the gospel. We're not all natural evangelists, are we? It's scary sometimes, isn't it? Looking for the opportunity to turn the conversation to Jesus and the message of the gospel. And most of us don't find that easy. But if we love the gospel and if we love people, then we will ask the Lord to give us opportunities and to help us to share the best news in the world with other people. We will have a sincere desire, in spite of our fears and our shyness and timidity, but our heart will be longing. And when we have that chance in a conversation over coffee at the day center or whatever it happens to be, and we will go home with a song in our hearts, because in spite of our weakness and our scaredness, the Lord gave us the opportunity for that 5-minute conversation when we were able to help someone who probably isn't yet a Christian to understand the great news about Christ. We show our love by listening to it, believing it, enjoying it, living it out, sharing it, and asking for it. What do I mean by that? We should show our love for the gospel by asking for the gospel. I mean that we should demand of our preachers. We should demand of those who come up to this pulpit or from preach from some other place. We should demand of them that they preach the gospel, that they preach the gospel. Brothers and sisters, if I, or if anyone who preaches from this pulpit, are not doing our job and are not preaching the gospel the way we should be doing, please tell us. Tell us. Email us. Message us. Grab us after the service and express your concern. Andrew, forgive me for saying so, but I just feel that we're not hearing the gospel as much as we should be hearing it. We're not hearing the gospel preached as clearly as I think we need to hear it. Please do that. We must demand, we must ask for the gospel from our preachers. We don't want to be a church that just assumes the gospel. Oh, we all know that. No. Let's be a church where, yes, the preaching of the Bible, but especially the preaching of the gospel, is at the center of our preaching. Because the gospel is in all the Bible. If we preach the Bible, then we will be preaching the gospel, won't we? Jesus is the hero, the protagonist of the whole of the Bible, all 66 books, both Testaments. And so how can we preach the Bible and not be preaching the gospel? And finally, number seven, we should show our love for the gospel by protecting the gospel. Because the gospel, believe me, is under attack. The gospel is under attack from false versions of so-called Christianity. Sadly, some churches, and I don't say this, I hope, with a critical spirit, but I say it as a necessary warning. Sadly, there are so-called Christian churches where you will not hear the true gospel message. And that is a serious thing. We need to protect the gospel. There is a thing called liberal theology, which has been going around now for over 200 years. But it's getting worse. And basically, it is when we don't take the Bible seriously. We don't really believe that it's come from God. We believe it's got mistakes in, there's good and bad. And who decides the good and the bad? Me. Each reader of the Bible has to decide the good and the bad. So we're putting ourselves in the place of the Bible as our own ultimate authority. And these things are poison. Spiritual poison that can get into our lifeblood and into our veins and do us so much harm and destroy churches. Liberal theology is killing churches. Liberal theology is closing down churches. Is emptying churches. Why? Because there's no gospel left. And therefore they start to die. And they do die. And that's tragic. But it could happen to us. It could happen to us in time. We need to protect the gospel. We need to be aware of the dangers and the distortions. We need to protect one another from those things. So I've asked three questions and tried to answer them. What is the gospel? Why should we love it? How should we show our love for it? Let me ask you then in closing, brother, sister, do you love, yes, the Lord, yes, the Bible, but do you also love the gospel? Do you love the good news, the great news, the best news of all, that thanks to the Lord Jesus, there is hope for sinners like us? Thanks to the Lord Jesus, we can be saved. We can be at peace with God. We can be in a loving relationship with our Creator, both now and forever. Do you love the gospel? Friends, let's believe the good news. Let's live out the good news. Let's share the good news. Let's love the good news. Amen.